I just want to go over, we do have a legacy booklet. I'm going to go over some of the pages from that, talk to you guys about legacy. But we're you know, let me start by saying this. A number of what we do every year is we start with the legacy foundation. We talk about what God wants to do. Oh, yeah. Diane and everyone, you can start handing out the book, one per family. And then if you want to follow along, you can do so. But the Legacy Foundation is something that many of you have been giving to, whether it was last year, whether it was 2 years ago, or you've been doing it the whole time we've been doing the Legacy Foundation. And number one, we just want to say thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithfulness. Amen. Thank you for getting the vision of God in your hearts and supporting the Legacy Foundation, because what it does is it builds things towards eternity. It builds things towards the future. So, amen. If you want to open your books, in the beginning of the book, there's a message from the pastors. I'm just going to go ahead and read that to you guys, because there's some good stuff in here. Message from the pastors. Over the years, we have witnessed God perform incredible feats and transform lives of individuals in our city and surrounding areas. Our goal, alongside that of Living Word Church, is to become a prevailing and enduring presence for generations to come. And that's what legacy is all about. It's not just about us. It's about those who come beyond us and who are impacted by what we do today. The Living Word Legacy Foundation was established to support the church vision of reaching the world, making disciples, and building strong families. Through the foundation efforts, future generations will be nurtured and planted in the Lord's house. Again, the focus on the future. Each and every one of us has the power to make a significant impact on the nation and the world around us for good, and there is a place for you in this mission. It is with great enthusiasm that we invite you to join us on this journey of transforming lives through the Living Word Legacy Foundation once more. The foundation is sustained by generous contributions above and beyond regular tithes and offerings. Together we can achieve far more than we ever could alone. So an offering, just so you know, in technical terms, a tithe is a tenth that we give to God, and the tithe is holy and that belongs to Him. But an offering is something that we give freely from our hearts. It's not required of us. It's not something that God says belongs to Him, like the tithe. So an offering is always above the tithe. So if you haven't tithed yet or you haven't begun to tithe, we encourage you to take that step of faith. 2023 needs to be the year where you begin to tithe and give God what belongs to Him. He said that that tenth is holy. If you're already a tither, we encourage you to participate in the Living Word Foundation. Hopefully that was clear. By joining forces, we possess the resources to bring hope to a suffering world and leave a lasting legacy of change for God's glory. Our prayer is that each one of us will discover our own purpose and place within the vision of Living Word Church. Amen. Let's get that slide up there where Nathan is just like lost in the presence of God. Do you see him there? What is the Legacy Foundation? I don't want to just assume that everyone knows what the Legacy Foundation is. So in 2016, the decision was made to bring all missions and building initiatives under one umbrella at Living Word Church. Legacy Foundation was birthed in 2016 to truly tell the whole story of Living Word Church and the scope of influence that we have locally and globally. So let me just bring you back to 2015 and before that. On a typical Sunday, we would go ahead and receive the offering like we normally do. And then we'd say, okay, we're going to take up another offering for hurricane relief, or we want to send money to Turkey for the earthquake, or we have our youth group going somewhere, so we're going to take another one. Oh yeah, the nursery is also in need of a new TV, so we're going to take that. Oh, wait a second, the marriage event is coming up, so we're going to take an offering then. So we were just taking offerings for every single thing, and we do a lot of stuff. Oh, wait a second, the backpack giveaway. So we want to buy some backpacks, everyone. So this the third offering is going to go towards the backpack giveaway. And people started saying, you take too many offerings. But the truth is, we just do too much. We do a lot of stuff, right? And we want to support it. So what we said is, with the Legacy Foundation, we will take an offering once a month. And from that foundation, it will cover all of the initiatives that we do. Okay? Let me say this, though, okay? Because some people don't jump in and they don't give something into the Legacy Foundation. Well, you give your tithe and offering, but we're really never going to make a pull for anything else. So it's like, you know, if you want to give into this, you want to give above and beyond offerings, it's really contained in the Legacy Foundation. And so we ask people once a year to make a pledge towards the foundation, and then we give on a monthly basis. So just know that that offering is covering our future initiatives that we're going to talk about, land and buildings and legacy, but it also covers everything that we do that Pastor Judy may talk more about, or the things you saw in the video, all come out of that, and we don't have to ask you every week for 6 or 7 extra offerings. Does that make sense, everyone? It just felt better when it started happening. You know what I mean? Because do you know anyone in your family, maybe you, who get like upset when a church takes too many offerings? I know a couple of people who are that way. They're just like, take too many offerings, right? So again, it handles that as well. So what is the Legacy Foundation? It's something that we established in 2016 to go ahead and handle that. Let's go to the next slide. You guys may have this one in your book, and this is the last one I'm going to read today. Through the Legacy Foundation, we are truly establishing the one thing that cannot be destroyed, and that's God's house, God's kingdom. Living Word initiated Legacy Foundation with the goal of advancing the kingdom of God. The vision of Living Word Church is to reach the world, make disciples, and build strong families. Legacy Foundation was created to make this vision a reality for all people who call Living Word Church their home. The areas of focus which embody the whole vision of the church work together in harmony so we can broaden the reach of the church. Legacy and Foundation includes church impact and expansion, community, local and global outreaches, in-house ministry, staff to facilitate the work, communication, TV, and much more, building operations and build out, our new building and our new land. Last scripture, from whom the whole body joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, Ephesians 4:16. What this means is that we are the body of Christ. Each one of us has our part to do. Not one of us alone can fulfill the ministry of the church. But if everyone just looks in their heart and says, I'm going to do my part, whatever that is, big or small, together, we create a whole and we get the job done. Amen? Amen. Pastor Judy, with your 42 pages of notes.
Here we go. I'm still cutting them down. Got down to about 41. Just kidding. Hallelujah. You know, stick with us. We're going to be talking about this for the next 3 weeks, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to do something so mighty. And you know what? It's one thing to hear a message and hear information, but it's another to catch what the Spirit of God is saying. Amen? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? How are you speaking to me? Amen? So I want to just talk about legacy just for a minute. Leaving a legacy, it brings us to an eternal mindset. I'm going to stop right here because I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that if one of these notes don't come out, that's okay. Just say what you want to say today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Leaving a legacy, it brings an eternal mindset, something that you're leaving beyond yourself, something that a life lived for ourselves, it dies with us, but a life lived for others, it goes beyond us. It goes to the next generation. And how many of you know we're a generational church? Amen. When we came back here, before we came back here, I was praying for my family to find a church because they had all been newly born again out west, and then they all moved back here. But there was nothing to be found. I don't want that for my children and my grandchildren. I want to build a legacy so that when they want to go to the house of God, it's there for them. They know their parents did something. They know their grandparents. They know that people, you know, thank God for the men and women of old that have prayed, and we're reaping upon their prayers. Amen? The Bible says, surely the righteous will never be shaken, but they will be remembered forever. Leaving a legacy happens when we invest in something bigger than ourselves, and we're doing a great work here. You know, people go from church to church but never really get grounded and founded and don't understand the vision and the purpose of a church, because the local church is the hope of the world. Say this with me. The local. Say it again. Is that something you're... Oh, okay. I thought somebody was sending me a message. You turned your phone around and... But say that with me again. The local. The local church is the hope of the world. You know, the local church is where there's a pastor. The local church is where you get married. The local church is where you dedicate your children. The local church is where you get help in time of need. The local church is where your children are learning about the Word of God and young people and lives are being changed. Amen? The local church is the hope of the world, amen, and God wants to build the local church. And it's not just one, not just our local church, but the local church everywhere. And so, you know, that's the importance of legacy. That's the importance of making sure that, you know, because so many churches, and I've seen it, and I've prayed, and I've talked to God about, you know, sometimes, churches get built up, and then they fall apart, and then they, and then churches don't even get off the ground. But the thing is God is always moving, and he is always trying to stabilize the local church. The Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But if there is no local church, how are you going to know there's a church? Amen? Hallelujah. Legacy often involves sacrifice. And in order to leave a legacy, we have to, I talked about last Sunday night about seizing opportunities, making the most of every opportunity. I brought that scripture out again this morning. But imagine how different tomorrow would be if you knew it was the last day of your life. What would you think about? Would you just cry all day and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm dying tomorrow and it's all over? Da, 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 da. Would you go out and see how many souls you could win to Christ? Would you work at leaving a legacy? What do you want people to say about you when you're gone? What do you want God to remember about the life you lived on earth? When you read Hebrews chapter 11, you know, God talks about the men and the women of faith. When you read the Bible, do you want your name to be remembered with joy and intention on leaving a legacy, doing something great? Listen, this is the greatest work in the world, building the kingdom. It's the greatest work in the world. But it's just not for now. And honestly, even I didn't know. You know, we came back. We want to win the world to Jesus. We're not thinking about leaving a legacy or anything. We're just looking. We're thinking about reaching the world for Jesus. But God's wanting us to make sure, like, you know, generation after generation passes on. We don't know. I do believe this is the last days. I do believe these are the end times. And I do believe the church is going to prosper in these times. The world is going to might suffer, but the church is going to prosper and is going to see the glory of God in these times. I do believe that. Amen? But if Jesus tarries, we need to make sure that the church is stable, don't we? Amen. I want to pass something on to the next generation that is bigger and stronger than when we began it. You know, I want to read Habakkuk chapter 2, because in these next few weeks, you're going to see the vision going forward. You'll hear little bits each week. But in Habakkuk chapter 2, it said, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets." Could you put our vision up there for me, the vision slide? "That he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely," say surely, "come." It will not tarry. I believe the vision that God has given us, I can hardly speak it, but this is the appointed time. And God's called you here for this appointed time. This is the appointed time. We're going to see, I believe this year is going to be like no other year. Amen? Let's look at this. Living Word Church, reaching the world, making disciples, building strong families, a supernatural church. Some of you might not understand what that means, but a Holy Ghost church filled with the fire of God. That's what a supernatural church is. Amen? A Holy Ghost, not just a word of faith church, not just a church that we cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. We cannot build strong families without the Word and the Spirit. We cannot make disciples without the Word and the Spirit. We cannot reach the world without the Word and the Spirit. That's as simple and plain as you can get our vision. Amen? But there's so much behind each one of those. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation first. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. I mean, that was written in the book of Ephesians. Making the most of every opportunity. Redeeming the time, the King James Version says, because the days are evil. There's going to be great opportunity ahead of us. And we're going to set, I was writing, things were coming faster than I could type them, but I'm believing the next 3 years is going to, it is going to change everything around here. We're going to set a three-year goal. We're going to have our land within 3 years. We're going to have a building built within 3 years. We're going to see a move of God within these 3 years. We're going to see the fire of God. We are going to see a move of God, awakening in New England. I mean, we're seeing it now. Lives are being changed. Families are coming in. And then a lot of people, I don't know where I am in my notes. I might be on the 42nd page. Who knows? But listen to me. People say, you know what? What is it all about the building and the land? Well, when the souls come in, what are you going to do? Where are you going to train them? Can we send them to your house? You know, lined up in the streets? Who's going to organize it all? Well, we can go from house to house. We can do this. We can do that. Who's going to organize all that? That's why we need a church. I remember years ago, before the Patriots won a championship, before Bob Kraft owned the Patriots. This is how, and you know, when stuff stays like you, it's the Holy Spirit. And they were talking about Gillette Stadium and the guy that owned it, and the guy, Gillette is the guy that made all the razors and everything like that. And I don't even know how the vision came to me or whatever, but I saw all of these offices and I saw all these people and they were coming up with ideas and they had everything organized and they were making the razors and they were doing this and doing that, and I remember thinking, why can't we have an organization where the kingdom of God has got such a staff? You've got outreach directors on staff. You've got financial people on staff. Ministries have prayer warriors on staff that all they do is come and pray. I mean, you have children's ministries that just, most of our people are volunteers and sacrificing their time. We have increased staff this year, but it's not increased like it's going to be increased. Amen? But that's what God wants, a place where we have to be able to function and do the kingdom work effectively and be productive in what we're doing. Amen. Instead of just, well, every week, you know, okay, we're going to church and, oh, the church was cool today. Did you see that? We had a full house. Oh, church was empty today. Wasn't church empty today? Oh, church, that's the extent of a lot of people's conversation. Amen? But I believe this is the hour of the church. This is the hour of the body of Christ, and that it's crucial for us to move quickly to lay the foundation of what needs to happen so we can run and do what God has us to do. Amen? The Bible says man's heart will fill them with things that are coming on the earth. Well, we need to reach the world. Amen? The devil tried to shut the church down all over the world. Matter of fact, honestly, the greatest growth in our church, the greatest financial growth in your church, came in 2020. It started 2020 to 2023. We're into 2020. The last 2 years have been phenomenal. We've never had years like this. You made that happen. We can't do things like this. You're going to see our media. We've spent thousands this year. We've done things that you don't even know yet, but you're going to be finding out more and more. You saw on there, on the video, and you'll see it again next week, and we'll put it online so you can watch it and see the things that we've done. But 2020 was the turnaround year for us. We were struggling. I remember. But I believe this is the hour. This is the time. This is the appointed time to get this vision, get to lay the foundation for the next generation. Amen? And I believe God is going to sustain us. He will carry us. He will not fail us. He will make a way for us. You know, many people have been touched in this place. Some people have found their spouse in this place. Many were touched by the anointing. And let me tell you, that's what people need. They need the anointing. A place like this is what your kids need, your family needs. The world out there is not what they need. They need what God has for them. Amen? This is the place to come and be touched by the power of God, by the anointing of God. And so if you're hungry, you need to be here. And and God's word. It's not a man that changes your life, but it's God's word that changes your life. So let me tell you this. Let me say this. I wrote this down. If you're going to be successful in life, and if your heart, if you want to be successful in the things of God, your heart has got to be on fire for one thing. And that one thing is souls. Your heart, you know, we say, well, we're on fire. We're on fire to worship God. We're on fire to go to church. We're on fire for the word of faith. We're on fire for this. But what about being on fire for souls? Having a passion for souls. Because if you have a passion for souls, you will have a passion to make disciples. You will have a passion to build the church. You will have a passion to fulfill kingdom business and make it a priority in your life. When you have a passion for souls, when you're just walking around and you know the person next to you is going to hell and you don't care. Come on now. I'm not saying, you know, people say, well, do I have to witness? You need to be conscious of that soul, conscious of what the Holy Spirit might need you to say to somebody, conscious to tell somebody they have a beautiful smile when maybe they don't look so beautiful, but their smile looks good. Come on, some of you caught that. John 3:14-17, I want to read this. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Not for God so loved the Christian. God so loved the world, and he still loves the world today. He loves the most evil creature out there. God loves the world. He loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus loved the world so much that he laid down his life for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There was no other conditions put in that verse. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That to me tells me that the world has to be saved. We can't have all these assumptions that everybody's going to heaven because they're not. Luke 19:10 says, I don't even know if I sent you these scriptures. Those guys, I'm sorry. I gave them a million scriptures that I'm not even using, and I didn't send them the right ones. I love you guys. Luke 19:10 says this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to what? Save that which was lost. The world is lost, and honestly, legacy, it's about reaching the world, not only this generation, but the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. It's not about, like, in 5 years that somebody will say, oh, look at what they did. No, nobody's even going to be paying attention to that. They're just going to be too busy doing the work of God. We're not looking for glory. God gets all the glory. Amen? But he came to seek and to save that which was lost. I mean, God so loved the world. That's how it began. God's heart is for people and for souls. And when your heart is for God's people, when your heart is for souls, when your heart is to raise people up, when your heart is to provide a place for people so they can come and be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, amen, and to learn the Word of God, I believe you become one of God's best friends. One of his best friends. When you become hungry and thirsty, you begin to ask God, what can I do for you, God? How can I serve you? How can I change this world? How can you use me, Lord? When you have this kind of heart, God begins to move on your behalf. He begins to use you. We have to be sold out for the gospel, committed to building God's kingdom. Amen? No, it's not just like this, oh, church is like anything else. Oh, I think I'll go to the basketball game today. Oh, I think I'll go to church today. Or that's not, God wants us to be committed to his kingdom. Amen? The enemy tries to make it about the building and wants the buildings to be shut down, and he tried to do that. And a lot of churches did shut down. And there's a lot of online churches, and I'm not saying anything. We're working at getting an online presence as well, but how do you know? Like, over here, I gotta go visit that church. That's my church. And you find out it's in Taiwan, Japan somewhere, you know? You're like, oh, I guess that's not my church. Hallelujah. We have the answer that this world needs, and that is Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to lead people and bring people out of darkness and into light. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, people, you know, and I say, these are just some thoughts that came to me today. You know, when people get upset at, you know, you're building something, you're working on something because you have a purpose. You're leaving a legacy. You have a purpose to see it filled with souls. You have a purpose to train people to reach the world with the gospel. But, you know, the enemy always twists it, you know. But look at the Bible. God was always, Jesus, they were always building something. They were building the ark. They were building the temple. Even Jesus was dedicated in the church. Amen? In the temple, whatever you want to call it. But they took him there, didn't he? Hallelujah. Everything that we do, building something for God, it's vital to the kingdom. The Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? What is the most important thing? Is serving God just like a, you know, I'm saved, so I go to church? Where is your treasure? I could go a long ways with that, but I'm going to stop there and read Matthew 6:33 that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When we care about everything else first, then God, we don't see the blessing of God. But when we seek God's kingdom first, God takes care of everything else. Amen? I'm going to give you an examination test right now. Where's your heart? Is the kingdom of God first place in your life? Is your daily life about eternity? And I'm going to, just right after this, I'm going to share how God spoke to me this weekend. Do you know that you will give an account to the Lord for how you spend your time, your talents, and your money? Do you recognize the fact that you are a steward? And could God trust you with unlimited wealth? What if there was an investigation into your finances? What will it reveal where your heart is? I'm getting heavy on you now, but I'm serious about this. We're going to run with this. We're going to run with the vision. You cannot serve both God and mammon and choose to live a life that impacts eternity. That's a life of leaving a legacy, a life that is invested in the pursuit of heavenly treasure. So, I got a testimony for you in a minute, but first I want to tell you this. All right, this is important. Pastor Mike talked a little bit about how the foundation started. I'm going to share really how the spiritual part of it, okay? We had driven to Florida, and we were driving back, and every time we had Pastor Tom and Maureen were senior pastors at Living Word Church in Arizona. And when we had, they had leadership conferences, and some of you, anybody that's gone to those that's still here, you know, JoJo, I know you, when they had the leadership and the pastors, and they would have training, and we would take our leaders, but it's 3,000 miles away. And so we wanted to take them there to be strengthened and to learn. We were learning how to build the church. And so on the way back, I think we did that for 2 or 3 years. And on the way back one year, I said, God, I just wish there was a place closer. Not on the way back from Arizona, but on the way back from, had gone to Florida on vacation. But we were praying in the car, and I said, God, couldn't there be some place, you know, we need help, you know, we need places where people can go get refreshed. And it was funny, I had gone on my phone, and I'd remember a church, it wasn't even, I prayed that prayer, forgot about it. I was looking up this guy that had preached at Pastor Tom and Maureen's leadership conference, and it said that this guy was going to be at Wave Church in Virginia Beach. And I said, wow, he's going there? Wave Church at Virginia Beach? I never even heard of that. So I Google everything and found out that they had leadership. They had events every year. They haven't had them since COVID and before. And so we took a group down there, and they had workshops, and they had great night services. They were Word of Faith. And then I found out that the pastor of that church used to be the CEO of Hillsong's church years ago. And he's from Australia. And so that was pretty exciting. And so I felt like it was an answer to prayer. And so we would go there. We went there for quite a few years in a row. And then a few years later, 2015, when Pastor Mike said that, I knew that God wanted us to make a move even before our landlord said we needed to get out. Even though he gave us so much mercy. But I didn't even know, and so we were looking for a place, but I didn't know how, you know, everything Pastor Ed and I learned, we kind of learned from heaven. I said, Lord, how do we do this? How do we raise millions of dollars? It takes millions of dollars. Don't you know that? I mean, I remember specifically talking to God. How do we make, you know, look at our congregation. How can we, do we beat them? Give them money. You know, what do we do? And I'm praying, and I knew nothing of this. And the Spirit of God said, go and look at Wave Church, at the Wave Foundation. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's that, you know? And I go online, and I mean, it's like, see, God is not... Each little church doesn't have to have I got to have a different vision from that, or I got to have a different, we learn from one another, amen? And then God speaks to us, and then when he speaks to us, you know, things get adjusted to what God has for our area, amen? But it changed everything. They had what they called a Wave Foundation, and it was exactly for what we do right now. It was exactly how they were able to have build satellite churches, build their Bible school, just do the things. They have a City Care, which is their outreach and so forth. And I don't know how much they're doing with that now, because so many things have changed with COVID. I still think they have it. But anyhow, God just showed me to have Living Word Foundation. It was about 2 years later we felt led to change it to a Legacy Foundation, because God began to show us the vision of leaving a legacy to the next generation and the next generation. Amen? And so so that, honestly, what God said to me yesterday morning, it was like, I was sitting there, and sometimes we think we're coming up with these things. You know, you can Google anything, you know. And the Lord said to me, the Holy Spirit, he said, one word from me changed the trajectory, the flow of where we were going. That one word that said, go over here and see what they did. One word from both times. It was a leadership, and then it was this. So what I want to say to you this morning is that word was given back in 2015. But that word is carrying spiritual weight today. You're a part of that word, that fresh word from God that he gave us back then. We had asked other pastors. We knew that they had bonds. We knew that they had all these different ways that they could do things. And it was just like, but nothing was clicking. But when you seek God, he has one word for every single one of you that will change things. And I remember that. I remember, and I was just crying yesterday morning. I'm crying, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, that was you, God, you know, you gotta revisit things like that, amen. And so many of you have been with us, and you've sacrificed and you've sowed these years, but we're gonna set a goal. Let's go from 2023 to 2026. Let's together make this happen. Let's get our land. Let's get our building. Let's get our Christian school. Amen. We see it in the spirit. We're speaking to it. We're going to talk about these things in the next few weeks because it'll bring revival in your heart. It'll bring awakening into the lives of people. And let me say this. Our goal, if you look in the book, and honestly, that's not going to be enough. But we set it as a goal. Our goal is 1.5 million this year, over and above the tithe. Let me tell you what we did last year. What we gave, we sowed seed, supernatural seed. We sowed over $130,000 last year. And about 110, 120 went to outside ministries, disaster relief. We barely made $100,000 before we changed this, before God gave us that word. And you know what we did? We sowed seed into our future. We sowed seed. What's 100-fold times 100,000? 120,000. We sowed that into getting the gospel out all around the world. We sowed it into local ministries, and we'll hear, I know Bob's here, and we'll hear from him in the next couple of weeks and what he's doing with the teenagers. And I feel like God is moving on him even to be more aggressive and ministering to these young people, him and Julia and so forth. And so I love to sow. We want to sow into local ministries as well. But I want to close with this. And I know it's kind of long, but these are messages that, honestly, you didn't get my 42 pages. You know, I just don't get it. God, why would you give me that much? Anyhow, so that was it last year? Honey, was it last year that we sowed that seed into Rodney Howe Brown? And some of you might not like him, but that's okay. I believe he's a servant of God. But we went to the meeting down there, and they were just taking an offering, a regular, you know, we went to a pastor's meeting down there, leadership. And we were, now think about this, okay? God speaks to us about Wayfound. These are different times that God has spoken to us. And they're getting ready to, you know, receive an offering. And I turned to pastor, and I'm thinking, we're going to give from the church, you know. But at that point, I'm thinking, maybe 500, you know, maybe 1,000, you know, from the church. And I turned to pastor, and just like we regularly talk, you know, like, what are you thinking? Because I want to know what's on his mind. He burst out. You had to be there. He burst out in tears. And he said, $10,000. And he was crying, and he was like, and I was like, $10,000. Usually God speaks to me and he gives like that. And I'm thinking, that's probably why he's crying. No. But you know what the Lord showed me? You know, these different ministries that that God speaks to us about, that are helps. The Bible says pastors, teachers, evangelists, you know, they equip us for the work of the ministry. And I was we keep thinking about that. God, what was that? And of course, we obey God. I feel the anointing so strong right now. And I tell you, I said, God, what is that? And the Holy Spirit said to me, do you know when you go and you're listening to him? Because when I listen to Rodney Howard Brown at the River Church, nobody can deny the work of God that's happening down there. I mean, God's working everywhere, but God chose us to choose that extra seat into that ministry. But I told Pastor, I said, I can't even listen to this stuff because I feel like my insides are going to explode with vision. It's just like, oh, my gosh, we need to do this and we need to do that. Of course, we have to hear from God. But it's just, and I felt like this week the Lord said that was the piece you needed to get running with this vision. See, the Holy Spirit does things. We don't understand it at the time. It wasn't just about our finances or the seed or the return. There was a peace, and we sowed seed. And I'm telling you, we're going to run with this vision the next 3 years. I want you to get on board. I want you to run with us. Let's do this great work together. It's not about Pastor Ed and Judy. Listen, we're already over the hill. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we have to be famous, you know? We're doing this together. It's about God's work. The Lord restores my youth. I'm young and hallelujah. Let's get on board. I hope the next 3 weeks will bring the vision clearer and clearer. This is for you, for your children, for your children's children, for all of the families that have not even heard about Jesus. Listen, we can do this. I believe we're going to give more than we've ever. Listen to me. And I wrote the story down, but I don't have time to read it. But I heard a testimony of this young man, and he had a dream for a vision, a dream for a business. And he wasn't really in church, and his wife invited him to church, and he didn't want to go to church. And then he decided he wanted to go to one church, but he missed the exit, so he went to the church that his wife told him to go to. And he was sitting, and he was listening to Rodney Howard Brown, and he was listening to him talking about businesses and so forth. And he said, I had $500 in my pocket. These people are talking about blessings, and they want you to give for this and give for that. He said, I have $500 in my pocket. But he said something happened to him. He said he just got this fire on the inside of him. He started thinking about, he had known somebody that had a business that didn't go to a Christian church, but gave $25 million, sold his company, gave $25 million to his church, a church that wasn't even full of the Holy Ghost, a church that didn't preach Jesus, from what I understand, and a righteous anger. And he said, God, if you will give me, and he was going to ask for a certain amount in business, and he said the Holy Ghost prompted him to ask for $3 billion. He wanted a business worth $3 billion. He said, I will bring it to you. I will bring you I will build the church, because it was just came on him, his passion for souls, everything. This church service was on December 30th of last year, I believe it was. And at the end of the year, he had made his business had made $80 million. And he said, God, why won't you do that for everybody? He said, because you believed me for it. You asked me for it. He said, I got it out there for everybody, but you asked me for it. I'm telling you, God is wanting to bless your socks off. When we take care of kingdom business, you'll see it happen. Amen? Do you see it? Can you see the building? Can you see the land? Can you see the schools? Can you see our Bible school? We're not just having a Bible school just so you can learn the Bible. They're going to be utilized in the kingdom of God in these last days. And I got to stop. And listen, I want you to take the books, pray over them. In 3 weeks, we're going to receive the pledges. In two weeks from today, if you feel like the Holy Spirit's already speaking to you, you can already give your pledge. And some of you have given. I mean, it just blows me away because I know some people's conditions and I see the faith that they have. Listen, we'll share this next week. We look at our giving and we're like, did we do that? Because you know what? In the cooking shows, they say, set it and forget it. Well, when we made our pledge, we set it and we forget it. We just say, we're giving that. That's it. We're not looking at it. And God always takes care of our bills. God always. This year, Living Word has met the budget. This year, we have gone over and above. And you're going to see it in the book. We have set aside $60,000 already towards down payment in one year. One year. And we'll tell you the things we're going to increase on next week. We'll talk some more about this. And are you excited? Yeah. Amen? I'm excited about this. And I just tell you, if you want to do something big for God before you leave this world, get involved in this and let's run with it.